right. We are going to continue on in our study of spiritual disciplines. Does everybody have a sheet? I think I've already given them out to everyone. We are in week 3 of Bible intake. Several weeks ago when I was planning this out, I thought we would be in Bible intake for 1 week, and we're in 3 weeks, so that's just the way it happens sometimes. So this is we'll look at tonight two main things, and that's going to be meditating upon God's Word and memorizing God's Word. So the last 2 weeks we've looked at the importance of growing in the Word of God, and last week I gave you some hopefully useful tips of reading the Word of God together and as God's people and then individually. And so tonight, what does it look like to sometimes slow down and to consider the things of God's Word? Let me say this on the front end. I should have said this a few weeks ago, but some of these topics that we're talking about reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, praying, fasting, just because I am teaching them does not make me an expert in these things. I'm not an expert on meditating upon God's Word and memorizing God's Word. There are many of you who probably have way more scriptures memorized than I do, and I'm thinking about JR. And I have still much to learn myself, so all I'm doing is trying to help us all along, because I promise through this I have felt a lot of conviction myself about reading the Bible and praying and doing these things as well. So say all that to say, this is me walking alongside you to be able to grow in holiness together. So let me start with meditating upon God's Word and what that looks like. Here's two thoughts to kind of set the tone for us of what this is. This comes from Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, we've been talking about. And he says this: meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, or upon life from a spiritual perspective for the purpose of understanding, application, and prayer. So really what he's saying is, when we think about spiritual meditation in a Christian sense, it's the deep thinking of the things of God, who God is, and the things of God's Word. Meditation itself, when you think about meditation, it doesn't always immediately think, or it might not strike you as something that's Christian. You might think of something, New Age or something like that. You think about yoga. You think about all these kinds of these other things. But in all reality, meditation is a very biblical thing. We just read that in Psalm chapter 1. We'll see it in Joshua 1:8 in just a few moments. But God calls his people to meditate upon the Word of God, to think about him in this particular way. Another way to think about it, this is on your sheet, it says this: Christian meditation is less about the posture of our bodies and more about the posture of our souls. And so I like that. That helps us to think about this is what we're doing with this. So with these two things that we're going to talk about tonight, meditation and memorization, here's, I think, a key before we even get started with these two things. It's learning to slow down and to be still and to be quiet and be there. Right. If I sit here for just a moment and I don't say a word, it gets pretty awkward for you and for me. And sometimes when we're by ourselves, it can be that way as well. I do not like quiet. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether I'm walking around the house, driving the car, I've got to have something on, some kind of talking or something that's happening all the time. I don't just like it to just be quiet and still. And yet, oftentimes, that's what we need the most. We need sometimes to just slow down. We think if we're not doing something all the time that we're not being productive. Mm-hmm. But in all reality, sometimes this is the most productive thing we can do, is to sit there and listen and read and pray and be silent before the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And so as we think about these things, it's going to require sometimes just slowing down just a little bit. And I'm saying this to myself because life is busy. There's things to do, and I understand that. But this is going to require, if we're going to do these things well, being able to slow down just a little bit. So what is the scriptural basis for this meditation that we're talking about? Joshua 1:8, this comes out of a very familiar passage. Moses is dead at this point, and now Joshua is the leader to lead God's people into the promised land. And how is Joshua going to be able to do that? Not in his own power. That's why God reminds him, I am with you. I'm leading you. I'm going to be faithful to you according to my promises. But Joshua, you have something to do. Here is what you are to do. Verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So what is God telling him to do? Take the word that I've revealed to you. Now, Joshua didn't have a full Bible like this. What he had, those first five books of the Bible at that point, the Pentateuch, the Torah, what Moses had written by the inspiration of the Spirit. And God is saying, take these things and know them really well. Because when you know the law of God, then you know God himself. That's one thing when you think about the first five books of the Bible, you think, it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. But in all reality, it is God's character being revealed to us. And so he says, Joshua, that's what you need most, is to think about me. Think and meditate upon me. So another quote to help us think about meditation, David Mathis in his book on spiritual discipline says this: meditation does not entail emptying our minds, but rather filling them with biblical and theological substance, truth outside of ourselves, and then chewing on that content until we begin to feel some of its magnitude in our hearts. It's a pretty big quote, but what is he saying? Sometimes we think about just emptying our minds, turning everything off, and just that's what we think about with meditation. And he says Christian meditation is not emptying, not being emptied, but being filled, letting it pour into you. And then he says, chewing on this content. That's what you think about when you think about meditation. You're thinking about taking something of God's word and turning it over and over and over. Right now, I am on a really big kick with Stacy watching. I like cooking shows. I can't cook. I would like to think I could cook. But one of my favorite cooking shows right now is MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay. I'm not necessarily promoting Gordon Ramsay, but I love this show. And one of the judges on this show, his name is Graham Elliott. And this is what he does. Every single time he tastes the dish, he'll get a big spoonful and he'll eat it. And he turns his head up to the side and just... And what's he doing? He's tasting every bit of that bite, of that food. He's trying to be able to figure out every ingredient in that one particular bite. He's chewing it all up. And that's what we are to do with the Word of God, which requires slowing down. It requires looking at the words and looking at the sentences rather than just breezing through them and checking off that we've read the Bible. It requires slowing down and letting the Word of God really captivate us and captivate our hearts and fill our minds and our hearts. And that's what we are to do. So let's go back to Psalm 1 for just a moment. We read it just a while ago. You might still have it open. But again, this helps us to see what we are to do. Joshua was called to do this. And now this wasn't just something for Joshua to do. This is a part of all of God's people. We are to meditate on the Word of God. He says this in Psalm 1. How blessed, or how happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And so the psalmist begins by saying, okay, you are going to be happy in the Lord in this world if you don't walk in the ways of the wicked, and then you don't stand there, and then you don't sit there. You're not just being with those who are unrighteous, but he says, what are you to do? To delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And that's the same language that Joshua was called to do, meditate day and night. And so this is taking the word of God and turning it over in your heart and in your mind throughout all of the day. Throughout your entire, from morning to evening till you go to bed, you're thinking about the things of the word of God. and letting them transform you and conform you more to God rather than the things of this world. Why are we to do that? Well, verse 3 tells us, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The same language again from Joshua 1:8. And so what is it saying? As you meditate on the word of God, the law of God, you will begin to bear fruit. The Spirit of God that inspired the word of God now takes and applies it to God's people to change us. This is how God's people are created anyway. The Spirit of God taking the word of God and creating new life in us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And when we hear the word of God proclaim, the gospel truth proclaim, the Spirit uses the word and his power to give us new life. And not only at the beginning of our salvation, but continues to do that throughout our life, which is why we spent week one talking about sanctification and growing in the Lord. And he does that so that we can bear fruit, so that we can be firmly planted like the tree with strong roots. You have this on your paper. We do this so that we're not caught up by, as Ephesians 4 says, every wind of doctrine that just blows through and it sounds great, and we're going to follow after that new doctrine. We're going to follow after this. And this says, no, we're going to be firm in what God says according to his word. Which, again, here's another question on your sheet for us to think about. With the time in God's word, are you bearing fruit? Not just from, I hope, from the sermons that you hear proclaimed, but if you have this personal time in the word, is it doing something to you? Is it causing you to think differently? Is it causing you to believe differently and live differently by the word of God? It's, again, not just reading it and that being it. It's being changed by the word itself. There's another passage in the book of Psalms. You can turn over a few pages to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. This particular psalm, the psalmist is struggling in some ways with his faith and the things of what's happening, his circumstances. And partway through the psalm, he's beginning to remember, no matter what season or circumstance of life I find myself in, I'm going to remember that God is always good. And he says this in verse 11. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your works of old. I will meditate on all of your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And so what is this psalmist saying? He's looking at the circumstance of his life, and he's, again, struggling with his faith. And then he says, I'm going to remember the faithful hand of God, who's led me here thus far. And he says, I begin to think about your works and your deeds, and God, you are always faithful. And I love that, because how often, even in the Christian life, we think, God, you have been faithful, but are you going to be faithful this time? Are you going to be faithful tomorrow? I know you've been faithful yesterday and even today, but tomorrow, what about tomorrow? And God still holds tomorrow in his hands. And that's why the psalmist says, I look back and I remember your works and I meditate on them. And I turn them over. It's like thinking about a movie that you love and you think about a favorite scene over and over and over. And you're thinking about these stories of God and his ways over and over and over in your mind, remembering he was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Isaac and to Jacob and to Joseph. I mean, Joseph, goodness gracious, if anybody had reason to complain, it could have been Joseph. And yet it said God was with him over and over and over. And Moses and Joshua and all the rest. And you look at them and you think, well, I'm not Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and no, we're not, but we are still a part of that covenant promise because we are in Christ and He is still our God, and so we can remember those works of old. And so, one practical thing I want us to think about as we meditate, we can specifically meditate on Scripture as you read it. As you take and you read books of the Bible and chapters of the Bible, there's ways to walk through verse by verse and pull out words and pull out sentences to meditate. But one practical thing that I want us to think about with this and thinking about specifically considering the works of God and meditating on them is what I did not come up with this name, but someone long ago said this, that we as God's people are to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. And that's when I think about the remembering the works of old and meditating on the work. That's what I think about. So where I first came across this was Jerry Bridges. I mentioned some of his books a few weeks ago on the pursuit of holiness. And this is where I learned this language from, of preaching the gospel to yourself. And at first I thought, okay, I don't really understand what you mean by that. But this is what he means. He means daily. Reminding yourself of, one, who God is. The holy, all-powerful, almighty, sovereign God. And you remind yourself, okay, that's who God is. And I recognize that I am a mere creature who has rebelled against God. Naturally, that's what I've done. I've committed treason because I've broken the law of God. And even as believers, we still struggle. We know this, of sin and temptation, and reminding yourself of that. But you don't stay there, because you get to the gospel. You get to the promises of who Jesus is, His perfect life and His death and His resurrection and His ascension, where He is mediating for us at the right hand of God right now, and that He will return one day to take us home to glory. And then you think about all of these things, and that's preaching the gospel to yourself. It is reminding yourself of your daily need for Christ and who you are in Christ because of what He has done. And that, I think, helps us in a lot of different ways. Yeah, let me just see if I can. I didn't write any of these down. I'm just going to try to give you several different things that I think are helpful of doing this. One, it keeps you humble. It'll keep you recognizing who you are before God, even as a Christian, that we didn't earn our salvation. We didn't deserve it. We didn't work to it. But God in His mercy has given us salvation and eternal life in Christ Jesus. I think a second thing that it does is it helps us to remember that our sins are forgiven. Because I think that's one thing that a lot of Christians struggle with, is they begin to, sometimes in that quiet time of life, that's why people don't like quiet, you begin to think back. You begin to think about regrets, things you said, things you did, things that you think, if anybody knew that, I would be so embarrassed that that happened. Because I am embarrassed that it happened, because I sinned against people and I sinned against God. And yet that's why you preach the gospel to yourself daily, to remind yourself, but I've been forgiven of that. There are times that I have spoken to elderly saints who, towards the end of their life, what do they? They're not. They don't have very much more life to live that's ahead of them. So what do? They think so far back, and they begin to beat themselves up spiritually rather than reminding themselves of who they are in Christ. They need to preach the gospel to themselves, and so it humbles us. It helps us remember our sins are forgiven. Another thing it does is it helps us to know the gospel, so that we can share that good news with those that we encounter to help them along the way. And so how are we to know the gospel? Well, we have to know it according to God's word. This isn't just a message. This isn't that we make up or a story that we've made up. It's been revealed to us by God's word. So here are, I don't know, 10 or 12 passages on your sheet that I would encourage you to just put in your pocket somewhere. Type them in your phone. Write them down. Put a sticky note in front of your Bible. If you are looking for a passage where someone comes up to you and says, "What is the gospel?" We all ought to be able to answer that as believers. But sometimes we need some help. And here are some very specific gospel-centered passages that tell us who God is, who we are, what Jesus has done for us. We need to know these. And if you recognize, it's often that, especially in that specific scripture time and prayer time that we have on Sunday mornings, I'll go through one of these passages and I rotate through them, because what do I want our people to know? I want us to know the gospel. We can't proclaim to be saved by the gospel and not know the message of the gospel. So here are some passages for us to think through. So let's just use one example. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll kind of apply what I'm saying and what it looks like. Again, you can do this as you think about considering and meditating on the gospel. You can do this just in your own head about the truths that you know of, or you can do it through a passage like this. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. Paul says this, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor." So there's the who I was before Christ. That's it. And you can stop there and say, okay, Lord, I might not have persecuted or been violent, but I have really sinned against you in other ways. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. That's where we were before we were in Christ. We were unbelieving. And then he says, "And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." Was Paul saying, you saved me by your grace, and it was more than enough, and you have shown me faith and love found only in Jesus. And then he says in verse 15, here is a gospel statement. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. It would really help us to be humble, to take that verse and apply it to ourselves daily, that I am the foremost of sinners before a holy God, and I'm only saved by his grace and mercy. I love that Paul doesn't stop there. He goes to verse 16, "And yet for this reason I found mercy." Okay, what's a reason he found mercy? "So that in me as the foremost sinner of all, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." What's Paul saying? He can go up to somebody who says, "There's no way God can save me. Look at my life. Look at what I've done." And Paul says, "Yeah, look at my life. Look what I've done. And yet God showed me mercy, and he can show you mercy as well. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ." And so this is a very gospel-centered passage. And then he ends in verse 17. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He gives praise to Christ for what he has done. So I guarantee if you take this passage and you read through it just for every morning for one week, and you pray through it and you meditate on it and you let it begin to transform you, it will do wonders for your own spiritual life and your walk with the Lord. And this is preaching the gospel to yourself, which we need to do. Well, let's continue. Let's turn our sheets over and we'll talk about some for a little while. Memorizing God's word. Again, I don't claim to be an expert in this, but I just want us to have some tips and maybe some ways that we can think about this. So again, it's helpful to think about why we would do that. Why would you want to memorize scripture? Why what would you? Go ahead, JR.
The words of mouth that hit the heart that I might not sin against it.
That's exactly right. So point number two on here, memorizing scripture helps us to fight sin. God calls us to do that so that we would not sin against him. We need the word of God in our hearts. So let me go back to point one and then we'll come back to that. But memorizing scripture helps us to focus our hearts and our minds upon Christ. Even as people who have been saved, we daily need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We daily need to remind ourselves, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold.
Amen.
Why? Because even in this world as believers, there are distractions and temptations all around us. And we need our hearts and mind daily tuned more and more to who God is. And memorizing scripture helps us to do that. It helps us to reshape the way we think and the way we believe in our hearts and our minds, to be able to think more about Christ. It's a good thing to memorize Scripture. The second reason, again, as J.R. said, it helps us to fight against sin. It helps us to fight against temptation. You have Psalm 119:11 that J.R. quoted. Then you have Matthew chapter 4. That's the story of Jesus there in the wilderness where Satan comes and he's tempting Jesus. And what does Jesus use to fight against that? The Word of God. He goes to the book of Deuteronomy and is able to quote that back. Jesus doesn't have the scroll there in this wilderness of 40 days. He's memorized the Word of God to be able to fight Satan and his temptations. And you think, yeah, but that was Jesus. But we have the power of Christ in us by his Spirit to be able to memorize Scripture for those moments of temptation. That's what we ought to do. We ought to have them so that we can, when we get in those moments, and we'll come back to that in just a moment of what that looks like. But when we get in those moments, God will bring to mind those Scriptures to help us to be able to fight against those sins. A third reason I think memorizing Scripture is helpful is because of our daily conversations we have with people. You most likely are going to have conversations with two different people in a day. Believers and unbelievers. And depends on what kind of job you do and where you're at in your season of life. You might have more conversations with believers than unbelievers or vice versa. But either way, if you know the Word of God, then you can be able to communicate to those around you the truths of God and the ways of God, even without pulling out your Bible to them every single time. You might have a believer. And as a pastor, this happens all the time where somebody will write up and come up to me, whether I am in season or out of season, right, to proclaim the Word of God. And they'll say, I'm struggling with this right here. And sometimes, most of the time, God is very gracious and there's a word that I can give them. Sometimes I'm like, I needed to be more prepared for that conversation that I didn't know was coming. And you have experienced those as well. You've had someone that call you, a family member or a friend, and say, I'm really struggling here. I'm sad. I'm going through this. I need some help. And sometimes we think, I have no idea what to say to them. But if you've memorized the Word of God, God will use that, bring it to remembrance, as we saw in John 15 and 16. The Spirit will do that, and you can counsel some of those people. You can help guide them with the Word of God. There's a second when I think about this with unbelievers. You think about 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me read this for us. Verse 15 says this. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So, 1 Peter 3 tells us you need to always be ready to make known the gospel to people. So, which is, again, an important reason to daily preach the gospel to yourself, to have some of these gospel passages in your pocket. Maybe you don't have them fully memorized, but you have at least enough knowledge of them to be able to help them. But you never know when there's an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with people around you. And there might be some people that come up and say, what'd you do this weekend? Well, I went to church. Why in the world would you spend half a day of your weekend going to church? And let me tell you why. And you can be able to share the hope that's in you. But if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know Scripture to teach them and to help them to see the beauty of Christ, then you're not being able to do that as effectively as you ought to. There's a fourth reason, and there's many, many more. But fourth reason is that memorizing Scripture helps us today. It helps us daily as we are guided by the Spirit of God and His Word. So, not necessarily talking to people, but in our own lives. How many times have you asked the question, God, what is your will for my life? Either in this particular situation or just in general. What do you want me to do? And sometimes Christians can get so paralyzed because they don't have they don't always have a chapter and verse for the next step in life. I remember there was a dear brother in Christ at the last church I served at. And I would ask him if he was going to do what he was going to get into that day. And he said, I don't know yet. I've got to pray and see where God's going to lead me. And I'm really thankful for that. But oftentimes he never did anything because he never was led to do anything. And that's not always a good thing. So what we need to be guided by the Spirit of God and his word to be able to live an abundant life in Christ Jesus. And we need to be guided by the Spirit and the word to honor him in our daily lives. And so it helps us to make decisions. Sometimes you're not always going to have your Bible right with you in that very moment when you're having to make a split second decision about something. But if you've memorized the word of God, it can help you in that particular moment as you make decisions. And so memorizing scripture is, hopefully you recognize it as an important aspect of growing in the Lord. So how can we memorize scripture? So again, just some helpful tips. I'm not perfect at this, but I think it will be helpful to you. There's a lot of books in here. There's a lot of verses in here, a lot of pages in here. So you think, okay, where in the world would I even start if I wanted to memorize scripture? Here's some different ones. Again, some specific, do what?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Hey, listen. That's exactly right. Jesus wept. So it helps you, and it reminds you of why he did that, and it gets one in your pocket. So Jesus wept. Here's some specific passages about the gospel. You had these on the front of your sheet. If you don't know where to start, I would just encourage you with one of those. You don't have to memorize the whole passage. You can pull out one verse. Like Romans 5, you have verses 6 through 11. Maybe you just want to memorize one verse and you memorize verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a really good verse to start with to memorize. And so you think, okay, maybe it's about the gospel that I need to memorize stuff. Or maybe it's a sin struggle. I put 4 down. There could be 400 that we could have listed, but here's one. Honor Christ with your lips, with your mouth, with your words. Because even as believers, whether you want to admit it or not, we can struggle with the words that we say, the way that we talk to people, the way we talk about people, the words that come out of our mouths. So maybe we need to focus in and read Ephesians 4 to help us to speak in ways that honor the Lord. Maybe you need help or in some encouragement to honor Christ in your marriage. Ephesians 5, that's the whole passage, but it speaks to both husbands and wives. And so you could pick a verse or two out of that that would apply to you and say, okay, how can I honor my wife? How can I love my husband or love my wife and honor my husband? And there's verses for those things if you're struggling with that. Maybe you're struggling with lust in your eyes. And Job 31 says, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a woman in that way. And so you say, okay, if I'm struggling with that, I'm going to memorize a scripture to help me in those moments of temptation. Maybe it's a struggle with your attitude or with humility. I would argue there's probably not a better passage in the Bible to go to about humility than Philippians chapter 2, where Paul talks about Christ humbling himself and becoming a servant. And he tells us that we are to have the same attitude that Christ had in that humbleness. And so maybe it's a humble attitude that you need. So you go and you look at that scripture and you memorize it. Let me stop for just a second because I think I need to make sure I say this, and hopefully you know this after we've said this for a few weeks. One danger of just memorizing single verses sometimes rather than a whole passage is that you can forget the context. So remember the context of these passages. Remember the context of these verses and don't pull them out and make the Bible say what it didn't intend to say. So that's just a warning. So maybe, you're thinking, okay, it's maybe not the gospel or a specific sin struggle. Maybe I'm forgetting the promises of God. So here's a couple of promises of God for you to look at, that God's love never fails. Romans chapter 8. You could pull any of those verses, but verses 31 through 39. I think I've said this. I know I've said it on a Wednesday night before. If I had one more passage to preach in my life, if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I would preach this passage here in Romans 8, because this is a passage that I have to personally go to over and over and over to remember the love of Christ for me. And so that maybe you need that as well. Or maybe you need a promise about the future. Revelation chapter 21, where you see this the beautiful new heavens and the new earth coming down and God dwelling among his people. And you need to be reminded that what we see in this world, what's happening over the next few weeks and few months and everything else, that's not it. That's not ultimate reality. There's something greater for us in the future, and you need to be reminded of that. And then some other passages for you to think about. Maybe when you think, okay, I've never even memorized scripture, so start with something that's familiar to you. You don't have to start with something that you've never seen in scripture that you can't recognize, and you think, okay, I'll go to Zephaniah. Well, maybe don't start with Zephaniah. That's a good book, but maybe start with Psalm 1. Maybe start with the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, something that's familiar to you that you think, I know that, and I know the basics of it, so maybe I'll start there. Or if you want to be a little bit more adventurous, you could memorize whole chapters of the Bible. You have Isaiah 52, 53, you have Romans 8, you have plenty of other chapters of the Bible. And how is it that you can memorize a whole chapter? 39 verses of Romans chapter 8, one verse at a time. That's how you do it. One verse at a time. You don't have to memorize all 39 verses in one sitting. If you can do that, that's really impressive. But taking it a little bit at a time. Because if you just go to Romans chapter 8 and you just start with this one verse right here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a really good verse to start with. And then you move on down to the life and the Spirit and what that looks like and our promises of salvation and the love of Christ. And so you just work your way down. Let me stop, and then we're going to just a couple of really practical things to think about. Let me say this. Memorizing Scripture can be, again, it can be daunting and it can be overwhelming. And I don't have a great memory. That's why I don't have it here, but on Sunday morning, if you look, I have a bunch of tabs in my Bible because I tab up where I'm going to go to make sure that I read the scripture properly. Because even verses that I memorize, because sometimes it's different. Sometimes when I'm preaching and I'm standing before you and there's nothing like your mind just going blank and you think, I have no idea what John 3:16 says. No idea. And so you think, that's embarrassing. I'm supposed to know that one. You know, go ahead, Mac.
It gets worse.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So don't feel bad. It's okay if you forget. So you just be encouraged. So thank you, man. It gets worse. All right. That's a good thing. Here's just a couple of really practical things. So you've got your reasons why you should memorize scripture. You've got your scripture to memorize. Okay, how am I going to do this? Here's a couple of ways you could do this. One, you could take index cards and just write it on an index card. And they make these little rings. You can put a hole punch in it, and you can just flip through these index cards. You can do it that way. I've done it that way, and it's helpful. You can stick that thing in your pocket. You can flip through it while you're waiting to pick up your kid or your grandkid at the at school, and you've got 15 minutes. You think, I'm just going to flip through this and memorize. You've got time. Here's 4 minutes that you could do something. Every time there's a commercial, you can almost time it. Mute that TV, and you have 4 minutes to do a lot of different things in that time. You can read a lot of books in a whole hour and a half, 2 hour segment every night that way, but you could memorize scripture that way. That's index cards. Another, if you don't want to look at cards, if you want to do something with your phone, they have a ton of different Bible memory apps. This one's called the Bible Memory app, and it will give you different tests every day. It will help you memorize it in different ways. Miss Jeannie can tell you about all the different philosophies of teaching and how that does, but this app does a good job of hitting the different ways you learn from a visual standpoint to a writing standpoint to all these different things, and it keeps up with the verses that you memorize. And it will remind you, you need to go and look at these on a daily or weekly basis. And once you've got it down, it'll bring it back to the top of the screen after a while. But it's a pretty helpful app. Or here's another way. You can have accountability. Sometimes we think, Okay, I'm really going to do this. And then after 3 days, you think, you don't keep up with it. So you could do this with a friend. You could do this with a family member. You could do this with another church member. Say, we're going to memorize some scripture together. Let's get together. Let's talk about one verse a week we can memorize. Or you could do it as a Sunday school class. What verse do we want to memorize this week or this month for our Sunday school class? There's different options that way. Two more, really quick. Review verses every day. That does help. I am not a Hebrew or Greek scholar to any extent. But I definitely am not when I'm not studying it on a daily basis. I knew Hebrew pretty well in college because I did Hebrew every single day. I was translating the Old Testament from the Hebrew on a daily basis. And now, years later, almost 10 years later, I could not parse or translate hardly anything for you. But I spent a lot of time knowing that the Hebrew originally, but you got to use it every day. And the verses, and memorizing verses is the same way. If you don't look at them at least often, then you can tend to forget them, even passages that you might have known for a long time. And so it's good to look back at them. And then we'll come back to this last point in the next couple of weeks. But sometimes in my own prayer life, I'll speak for myself. You begin to pray and you think, I don't know what to say next. I don't know if you've ever been there and you think, I don't know really what I'm supposed to. I know what my heart says, but sometimes I need help praying. And when you have scripture memorized, you can begin to pray some of those things back to the Lord. And so in a few weeks, we'll talk about what does it look like to use scripture to help lead in our own prayer life. And because ultimately we pray, let's go back to the Gospel of John. Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. And I've said over and over and over, that's not just a blank check for anything. We have to ask according to his will, which means we need to know the word of God. And so when we've memorized the word of God, I really do think it helps us to pray more in line with his will, even if we're not thinking about those specific whole references of verses in our heads as we're praying. God will bring things to our mind as we're doing that. So just another reason to memorize scripture. But there's a lot more we could say about all this. I do hope it's helpful and I hope it's encouraging to you, and that through this, that you would know God more, and that we as a church would love God and be able to serve him more by the love of his word. Let me pray. Father, we are grateful, as I've said over and over these last several weeks, for your word. Lord, help that not to just be an empty prayer, but be a true prayer, knowing that without your word, Lord, we truly would know nothing. Nothing of you, nothing of ourselves, of this world, of the hope of the gospel. So help us to love your word. Help us to slow down, Father, to be able to read your word, to be changed by your word according to the power of your spirit. Help us to be guided by your word. Lord, I pray that you would be gracious to us as we seek to meditate and to memorize your word, to be able to be more conformed to the image of Christ and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Father. Lord, I pray that your word would just seep into us and would transform us, that we would be the people that you call us to be in this world, so that we can proclaim to this world the hope of Christ. So, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us and guide us each and every day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.